Well, we just had a revival meeting. Brother Marty, in the last service, he told us how the Lord wanted to help us. And it was a real blessing, that message was. And he gave us several scriptures and real encouragement that God wants to help His people. And that He is a refuge to those that seek Him. And so I feel like the Lord has given us a real strong burden this morning for something that doesn't maybe seem that awesome. But I want us to think about something this morning that I believe is part of God's way of helping us today. In Galatians 6 and 2, we find a scripture there. It says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And this is really talking about the scripture. It's following verse 1, where it says, "Brethren," excuse me, "if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And so I believe that the Lord wants to help us in a wonderful way. And you know, He has given to us one another. He has given to us others to help bear our burdens. And He said, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." You know, there's two sides to that. There is the bearing of the burden, and then there is the one that is working with those. Now, this one that it's talking about before here, that was caught up in a fault, you know, He had to allow them to help Him. And so I want us to think a little bit this morning about the power that God wants to use in working through us together. I believe that there is a strength in that maybe sometimes we don't fully recognize. You know, Satan is going about, we know, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking everywhere. He's treading behind you. He's beside you many times. He's right there trying to penetrate you. But you know, the Lord is much stronger, much greater than He is. There is no contest of power there. And we need the power of the Lord. And the Lord ordained that we pull together in things. He ordained that, and He uses that. And He helps us in our burdens today. You know, I want to just read some of the different scriptures and a promise or two that God has given to us, that when we agree together in prayer, there is great authority over the devil. And there is great authority in the things of our lives by the Spirit of God when we pull in that way. You know, Peter and John and those apostles, they were not exempted from life. They were not exempted from the attacks of Satan on their life. They were not exempted. Their little world was very affected by the attacks of the enemy. And you know, you and I are going to be affected by the attacks of the enemy too. But I believe God wants us to know that He wants to more than deliver. He wants to bring glory and honor to His name in these things. When there is a crisis, I've come to believe and to think, every time I see a crisis, I think this is the beginning. This is a possibility of the beginning of something wonderful. And so I want us to think this morning, you know, a number of us here, we have our battles, don't we? We are in the battle. Well, I will tell you something. God wants to give victory. He not only wants to give victory, but He wants to give a victory that is resounding enough that it brings glory to God, and it brings faith to people looking on. And so In Acts 12 and 1, I want to read a little story there. It's a very interesting story. But it says now about the time, this is Acts 12 and 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Now this was a different Herod than the Herod that was king when Jesus was born and that tried to kill Jesus when he was a baby, when he was just a little child. But here it says that he stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. You know what the word vex means? It means to trouble. It means to, let's see, I looked that word up. It means to injure, to exasperate, to make evil affected, to entreat evil, to harm, to hurt, to vex. Now, is it true that the devil has any power at all to do things like that? You know, I want to read this and keep in mind what's going on here. There is a battle going on. And folks, I believe the Lord wants us to win these battles. I believe He wants us to rise up to the occasion and take a crisis and take it on and work with it as our forefathers worked with some of their battles and see the victories that God wants to bring. A victory that brings judgment unto victory until it's clean and clear victory. And so this morning, I want to just encourage us. The Lord gave me a heavy burden for this morning. That God would help us to be able to pull together and see some victories in situations and lives. Now, it says that Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, this wasn't the first one, was it? We see Peter before this. Stephen before this, don't we? And we see Jesus was hung on the cross. And now he kills James, Herod does. And then he proceeds, it says, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. You know, the devil, sometimes he sees how it pleases the enemies of good and righteousness. And he proceeds, doesn't he? And he will take all the ground he can. And it says that he took Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Now, what is four quaternions of soldiers? That's 16 soldiers. He took Peter and John. He took Peter here. And he put 16 soldiers in charge of him. Now, why did Herod put 16 soldiers in charge? Can you tell me? Had they had a military revolt? I guess Peter had tried to use his sword one time. But that's all. And they put 16 soldiers. You know, there was something at high stake here for the enemy, wasn't there? He did everything he could. But it wasn't enough, was it? I want to read on. It says, Peter therefore, let's see, four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You know, this little story, they had taken James suddenly. There was no time for prayer, it doesn't sound like. God was allowed that to happen. That was His will, evidently, to allow that to happen. But for Peter, He wanted His people to pray. Folks, we're going to have to band together sometimes to win some clear and decisive victories in the kingdom of the Lord. You know, this was a very physical battle here. It was a very physical thing. They won this battle. And I want to look at their manner. It says here, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Now, can you picture this? A soldier on each side. He's got two chains on him. And it says the keepers before the door kept the prison. All this. How much safer could it be? 16 of them in charge. You know, how much safer could it be? But I will tell you, the people of God were praying. They were on their knees. Their hearts were humbled before God and pleading with Him. And we see here, behold, it says, the angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in the prison. You know, if God be for us, who can be against us? Did you know that? In our battles of life, in the troubles we face, in our families, in our needs, our job situations, our own physical situations, do you know that there is one that when the light shines from heaven on that thing, what can hinder if the Lord decides to work? And what can hinder the Lord from working when His people begin to cry before Him as one voice this morning? Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him and a light shined in the prison and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off. His chains just fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Did you know God can do more than we can ask or think? Do you know in our situations that we get into that God is able to do more than we can comprehend? And here was this brother, and this was actually happening to him, and he couldn't believe it. He thought he was seeing a vision. God's able to do those things, isn't he? You know, this morning there was some things happening here that was working in the world of the Spirit of the Lord and His people and their prayers and their hearts and they're working together and they're coming together that the devil was not able. He was not able to even, he did the best he could. He put all he could into it. What more could he do? But the light came in. It shined on the situation. And folks, God wants to shine on some situations today. But I believe we're going to find some of these answers the same way these brethren did. They came together. They humbled their hearts together and prayed. And we find here, it says, "But thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord." Have you ever walked up to a gate? Now, I know we've got these little sensors nowadays. But this was a city gate, and they didn't have sensors. But this one did. Because there was an angel up there that just opened that gate when they came to it. Impossible. How could these things happen? How could he get out from under those soldiers, one on each side? This happens. You know, the Lord can work in ways that we can't even fathom. I want to encourage us this morning that God wants to set us free from some things. God wants to work in our lives. He wants to work in our homes. He wants to work in our situations. He wants to heal us of some things. And I'm encouraged to pray that way, to pray together, to seek the Lord earnestly together. Folks, this is where it happens. This is where the battle was going on. And the victory was very physical. The victory was real. He walked out of that prison. And we see what God began to do for him. It says, but Peter... No, let's... The gate opened of its own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety." It took him a while. I just can't believe this. Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. You know, the Lord just delivered him. I will tell you, I remember when the Lord, right there, in that spot right there, healed me of sleep apnea. And I couldn't believe it. I went home and I slept so well. And I was like, this is amazing. God is, and you know, Brother Marty brought some things out that really helped me in that way. Because I've wondered, why, Lord, now and then I feel a little bit of it. Why does it come along? And he told us the story of Brother White and how that the Lord had healed him and that cancer was coming on him, about to eat his eye out and predicted to do so. And just before it did, it didn't. And it went all away. And God healed him of that. And then he said, but he always had this little thing that would remind him. And I got a hold of that in this meeting. Maybe that's why. Every now and then I feel a little bit of something. It's like, Lord, you healed me of this. I don't bear with this. Why is it? I think the Lord wants to remind me real regular, maybe. Whatever it is. But you know, God wants to work for us, folks. And he wants to work in ways that we can hardly take in. You know, it says here, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing. Now listen, folks, let's consider some things. The devil has expectations for our situations, for our families, for our troubles. But I will tell you, let's consider the thing that God is able to deliver in mighty ways. And when he works, no man can hinder. And let's pull together in some things. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. We can't believe that God would do what we've been praying for him to do. Folks, I believe in God like this. I hope our faith can reach up today and take hold that when we pray together, God has moved on his throne. When people's hearts come together, when we move the hindrances out of the way, and sometimes there's things that have to be moved out of the way. There's been times that we have had illnesses and things face our family, different things, not just that, but that we needed God bad. And I will tell you what my wife and I would begin to do. We'd make sure things are clear between us. I want us to consider the thing and consider some things this morning, that we clear our lives, that if there be anything between us and others, that we can't kneel and pray in agreement of prayer and call down the power of God, that we get this out of the way. We are needing God to work. We are needing God to help. And we need him. I feel like the Lord gave me this in a very strong way, folks. God help us tonight, this morning, that we would be able to see the enemy put to flight. That we would be able to see God work in every situation. That we could say God was on the scene there and we know it and we can see it. I believe God wants to do that. We need God. We need to humble ourselves before God. They said, thou art mad, but she constantly affirms. So, but Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go, show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Folks, the Lord wants to take some people out of prison. He wants to take some people out of prison that may be worse than this physical prison. God wants to deliver in wonderful ways. And I want to encourage us this morning that we allow Him and we look to Him to do that. In Acts 4 and 18 is another little story. We'll just read a few verses here. We'll read several. 4 and 18 to 21. It says, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." But Peter had a way of getting in trouble, didn't he? He was on the forefront of what God was doing. He was doing God's will. But you know what he saw? He saw a lot of trouble, and he saw a lot of unbelievable miracles that he himself could hardly take in. That's the way it works. We don't want to be afraid to be on the front lines. Folks, when we're on the front lines is when we see God work. And I want to encourage us to move up to the front line. Move up in those places. That is where God is. That is where we see His working, His hand. Fear not to move into those places and to allow the Lord to work in our lives. And it says, "They commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done." Has the devil ever told you, "I want you to sit down, I want you to shut up, and I don't want you to say anything else. I don't want you to do anything else. You be quiet." Has the devil ever told anybody here that? I know he has. I want to tell you something. They further threatened them. They did everything they could to threaten them. And then we drop on down to 23, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord." And I want us to think about what this one accord means. It means with one voice. It means they lifted up to God with one heart. Folks, the devil knows that to divide and separate, even in a home, he has a wedge there that we read over in Peter that our prayers can be hindered, don't we? But these people, they went away from this threatening and they lifted up their voice with one accord. We've got to fight for this thing, okay? We've got to work and realize where the enemy works. He wants to separate. Divide and conquer, that has always been an enemy's way. Get somebody off by themselves. Get them just divided a little where they won't pull together and work together in proper harmony. Just do something. Bring some kind of thought in there. Bring something, because that will diminish the power greatly. It works that way. Let's examine ourselves and pull together. Pull to God. Do we pray for one another? Do we pray for everyone? Is there any feelings about anybody that we cannot say, "Lord, would you bless them in a mighty way? Would you have mercy on them?" Is there anybody that we can't do that with? Or do we have things that would hinder our prayers this morning? I believe the Lord wants to work in our lives in ways that sometimes we can't take in. We would think it was a vision that we were having. God wants to work in those ways. But I would tell you, sometimes He's waiting for us as a unit to pull together with one accord and one voice, calling upon God and asking Him for the help that we need. I want to, let's look on down now. Let's finish that 24th verse. "With one accord, lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is." How we need the Lord this morning. He is the one that there is no other name. There is no other power that can even affect the Lord, because He has power over every power. I want to encourage us this morning. I'm gonna just encourage us to come to noon prayer service on Wednesday. I know we have prayer service on Wednesday night, but folks, we pray together. We call upon God together. We are looking for victories on every hand. We're looking for souls that need the Lord, that don't know they need the Lord, that don't know what serious situations they're in. They have no idea the dangers that they are in. They have no idea what waits them when maybe another few breaths are taken. Praying, God, would you work? Would you move? Would there be no undone things that need to be done? Only God can do those things. And I want to invite us to pray together, to pull together, to let our hearts strive together before the Lord. Dropping on down to verse 29, and now, Lord, this was their prayer. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Folks, I want to tell you this morning, I want to see God on the trail of everyone that is not saved this morning. I want to see God working in ways that they themselves cannot stop, because God is at work. You know, the Lord gives people Jesus troubles sometimes. It comes many times by fasting, by prayer, by seeking the Lord together. I just want to encourage us this morning. Folks, we have a lot to gain. We have a lot to see the Lord do. We love it when people are saved, but that's not nearly enough. We want to see the Lord working in lives. We want to see the Lord using lives to the full potential. And whatever the hindrances are, I believe God is able to do more than we can ask or think. So let's humble our hearts together this morning and let God work in every way. I want to read one more place of a few scriptures in Daniel 2 and 17. Most of us are very familiar with this little passage, but it says here, Daniel 2 and 17, now the king had made a decree that the wise men of Babylon should be slain, and Daniel was with that group. And we see in verse 17, it says, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. You know, I believe we see a secret here. Daniel didn't keep all this to himself. He had a few companions of trust, men like him that would stand before the furnace of fire and say, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. He brought this before his companions. Folks, it's time for us to come together in a greater way and allow the Lord this place. Daniel came. He was in a desperate situation. And it says, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. You know, God began to work with Daniel in an awesome way. He began to work with him. How many times has God done that for us, folks? I've seen it a bunch of times. I've seen it when God revealed the secret. There is no answer. There's soldiers on every hand. There's chains. There's bars. There's a gate to go through. There's another gate to go through. There's too much. It's impossible. Folks, that's where God starts. That's no problem for Him. What He needs is us to humble our hearts and seek Him. And I know we do. But folks, the Lord wants to give decisive, clean victories. I believe He wants to get on the trail of some and bring them to Himself and cradle them in His love that the enemy has got his sights set on. The Lord's wanting to win some decisive battles this morning, and it starts in prayer with fasting sometimes. I'm going to read on here. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. For Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Then, therefore, Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, "Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation." And we see how God worked in this way. But I want us to recognize something. It was not by Daniel's intelligence. Daniel was a very intelligent man. But this isn't what won this thing. When God can get all the honor and all the praise, and when He gets us into those kind of places, folks, and we start seeking Him, He gets all the honor, all the glory, all the praise. Daniel didn't have any to take at all. And God wants to work for us today. He wants to work in your home, in your situation. Folks, I know we all have our situations, and there are some real needs right now. And I want to encourage each one of us to humble ourselves before God and to search for those things until God begins to work in wonderful ways. I believe the Lord gave that to us this morning, and that is our message this morning. God, would You work? Would You teach us how to humble our hearts together? Would You teach us how to win decisive victories where things are not like they were anymore, where things change, where people get saved and they change and their countenance is different and they become happy and change? God wants to do these things, and it comes from Him alone. I was thinking about Esther the queen. You know, Satan had determined evil, not just on Esther, but upon all the Jews, all the people of God. He had determined, "We're going to exterminate these people. This is it." And Esther was in that time. She was in that place. It was her time. It was her place. And she felt the fear. And she felt the intensity of the barrage from the enemy, trying to take away their very life, their very witness that there's a God in heaven. That's what Satan was after. Do you not think Satan is still working the same today? Sure he is. Do you not think he's working against you in your personal life? Sure he is. Is he not working against your home? Sure he is. Is he not working against this congregation? Sure he is. And we're not having any big troubles here, thank the Lord. I believe we can preach this and then come together. Thank the Lord for that. But folks, these things come. I want to read on here a little bit. I want to read one verse, Esther 4:16. It says, "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. She put herself totally in God's hands. Folks, it's time for all of us to put ourselves totally in God's hands. Lord, we are here. Live or die, whatever happens, we are here to receive from you the things that you want to give. We are here to see the decisive victories in my life, in our lives, that God wants to bring to us this morning. And so I believe through those united prayers and those things, God has been able to work. You know, he allowed James to be killed. And then the devil went after Peter, but he didn't allow Peter to be killed. Folks, just because something happened yesterday don't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. God wants to work. He wants to be able to relieve burdens. He wants to be able to change lives and hearts. He wants to give us grace that we never knew was available. He wants to be able to work in our lives until we ourselves think, surely this is a vision. Surely, is this real? Is God really working in my life like that? Yes, he is. Yes, he will. But folks, it's going to be when he gets all the glory. When he is the one that we seek, and because of him, we receive from him. Thank the Lord this morning. Oh, I thank God that we have God to go to. Folks, I can only imagine. I wrote to a man and said, what would people do without God in this kind of a situation? You tell me, I don't know. But we have God, don't we? And the Lord wants to bring glory to his name. In every one of these situations, God brought awesome glory to his name. Were they difficult and were they hard? Yes, they were. But the power of God makes this. There is no match for the power of God. Satan is able to be unseated. He can be cast out. He can be cast forth. His works can be overcome. And I believe the Lord wants us to begin to seek him with confidence and with faith that God is going to work in ways that we never realized he even could, though we're praying for it. So this morning, the Lord help us each one. I want to just mention a couple, three or four other scriptures or so, and I'll just quote them. James 5 and 16, or read them. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. Folks, there's a time for us to be willing to confess our faults that we might be healed. If we bury everything all the time, I want to tell you, that is a place Satan will work. There is a place for us, as Daniel came back to his three friends. He knew these men. These were not unfaithful men. He knew them. He knew them well enough to know he could trust them. And I believe the Lord wants us to have some relationships like that. That we know the people well enough that we can truly trust them. We can bear a heart. We can pray together and call heaven down upon our situations this morning. That ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Again, in Matthew 18 and 19, Jesus said, again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. God help us this morning that our faith can take in the things God has said. Jesus himself said this. We're not saying this. He said this. Lord, help us to call down heaven in the needs of our needs that we have. On every hand, different kinds of needs that we all have this morning. I want to read one more scripture. Brother Marty mentioned this in the revival because I believe this is very crucial. It says here in Hebrews 10 and 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Folks, the Lord wants us to consider one another, to provoke, to make something a reaction in the other unto love and to good works. The Lord wants us to be able and willing to surmount some walls, to see some walls come down where God can work more freely. I thank God for our congregation. I thank Him for the way the Lord works. I enjoy that so much. I believe the Lord wants to go a little deeper right now. There are some needs that we have that we are looking to God to heal, to change, to fix. We are wanting to see the Lord work in some things, are we not? But it goes on to say, to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And Brother Marty talked about that a little. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Folks, that's our duty, it's our job. So much the more. God help us this morning that we pluck up courage of heart, that we recognize that all we need is God to work. Lord, let there be a free flowing between our hearts. Let there be a work done that You are free to work and not hindered by ourselves in any way. Let there be a working of the Lord that in the battles that the Lord can defeat Satan and cast him out of his lofty position. He had Peter in prison and he had him real secure. And there was no way. There was no way. Besides, they weren't going to do that. They weren't going to try to do that, to go after him in that way. But you know what? The angel of the Lord just moved in there. And what Peter himself could not believe happened right before his very eyes. God help us this morning that we will see so much the more as we see the day approaching, that we will clear things with the Lord, with our spouse, with each other. That there be no things to hinder, because we're needing God to work. Folks, we're needing God to work. Not just in troubles, but we're needing God to call. We're needing God to call, put His call upon people's lives. These things, I believe, come partly from a depth of working with the Lord and us working with Him together and one another. God help us each one that the Lord would lead us and teach us and encourage us. How much I appreciate everyone that's trying to live for the Lord. The weakest one, thank God for you this morning. Let's intensify the battle and let's see what God can do this morning. Amen.